You're listening to Games of Future Past on the Fat Gatsby Network.
All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
And a festive holiday season to you. Merry Christmas and such. This is Tim and Dave bringing the cheer to your December.
So lovely to speak to you all on this Yuletide.
Yeah, it's fucking cold as fuck near these windows.
It really is cold as fuck.
Yeah, but so yeah, we are here today, as you know, shortly or already on the website, our blank of the year, probably coming soon, our blank of the year episodes will be going up in the next week or two. And as will everyone else across the internet will be doing their end of the video game awards, and everyone across the media spectrum will be doing their end of the year awards, talking about what was great in 2014, looking back on the year as everyone does before the calendar is about to flip over.
Yeah, but me
that's,
and Tim,
that's not how we roll.
No, we have a very special Christmas tradition.
Yeah.
We look
at
back.
At some point we should be looking 3 decades back, I think, or maybe to more.
Yeah, at some
back,
point, but this is going to have. Well, we could now. I think now there's enough to talk about that we could go back to 1984. But we're not going to do that.
No,
not
because we didn't plan for it.
We didn't plan for it. We can do that some other time.
Maybe, yeah, maybe next year you'll get the best of 85, 95, and 05. I don't know.
Yeah, we could do that. That'd be fine.
At some point, we settle on 20 years. But either way, so we are here today to look back at the grand year that was 1994.
And grand it was, Tim, for many a reason.
This was, yeah. Well, for two reasons in particular.
Well, let's say it grand in the sense of opulent. 94 mm-hmm. was, if the last time we did this, talked about
Yeah, we talked about 93. I believe that was on our initial Games of Future Past episode.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, I mean, there were definitely some memorable games in 93. 94 was a fucking deluge. Mm-hmm. 94 was too many goddamn video games. It was ridiculous.
Maybe
it
kinda,
was an influx.
But I'm gonna cut to the chase here, mister.
Let's do it. All right.
To me, the best of 1994 comes down to two games.
I know what one of those games is.
And those games are Final Fantasy III and Super Metroid.
Right, of course, Final Fantasy III. No, that is the other one.
Yes, yes, that is the fucking other one.
Games. Yes, no,
you might have heard in the news a couple months ago that its 20th anniversary passed.
I forgot about that one momentarily.
Too busy obsessing over its inferior cousin.
No, just Donkey Kong 94 was manifesting in my head.
And 94. And Donkey Kong Country came out in 94, I believe, as well.
Well, Tim, I have in my hands, as we do every year, Electronic Gaming Monthly's 1995 Video Game Buyer's Guide, which is released every year in December of 94 to recap the year that the previous year that was. So I'm looking at EGM's best and worst of 1994. Video Game of the year, Donkey Kong Country.
Boy, that's some that's something that no one's gonna look back on and agree with.
Can I read you some sentences that end with exclamation
points?
You
know, I'm just gonna say I don't think that Donkey Kong Country was the overall game of the year in Nintendo Power that year.
No,
I don't think it was. I'm pretty sure it was either Six or Metroid. I don't remember.
I mean, it was a better year for Super NES that year. It was blessed with abundance. But, you know, EGM said that this was near unanimous.
That is graphics. Graphics, man.
Well,
I guess.
Tasty. The music, game mechanics, graphics, and fun factor are among the best! Exclamation point. Many people say that this game is a good indication of where video gaming is going in the future. Our editors couldn't agree more.
That is very funny.
Nintendo's technological tour de force, Donkey Kong Country, was the hands-down winner for Game of the Year from our staff.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That
I know,
is
right?
Embarrassing for them.
Donkey Kong Country is not a terrible video game at all.
No.
It is so just perfectly kind of okay.
But, you know, in yeah, in
it's well crafted. Shows craftsmanship.
Yeah, in the yeah, the years and decades that will follow, as people know that Donkey Kong Country is fondly remembered. Certainly, Donkey Kong Country has returned and had a tropical freeze, and those were those were good,
well regarded.
Yeah, but generally, in retrospect, the original games do not hold up to what. Yeah, the way they were back at the time. But let me tell you, yeah, so Super Metroid, whenabouts did Super Metroid come out? That was a spring release, was it not?
Was it?
I believe it was spring. Spring-ish, early summer, late winter. It was in the first half of the year, I want to say.
Okay, I don't have that one pulled up specifically in front of me, but... Yeah, no, I don't know.
Nah.
Anyway.
Anyways. Donkey Kong Country was their choice for best game of the year. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So over, yes. Over, Super Metroid and and Final Fantasy III as we knew it at the time.
Wow.
Dave, what do you remember about getting your grimy mitts on Super Metroid?
You know,
did you immediately recognize it as the masterpiece that it is?
No, I
me neither. Okay, we can be honest about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It wasn't really until college that it started to dawn on me. North America on April 18th, 1994.
All right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I got stuck somewhere in Norfair.
Upper or lower?
Lower.
Okay. You're mostly through the game then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was pretty close to the end. There was a Chozo statue mid boss that I just couldn't beat.
Oh, and that fucker. Yeah. Yeah. The gold one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
think it's gold.
Never played the game again until college, when it sort of became a wintertime ritual for me to play Metroid, Super Metroid, through to completion. And that's where I sort of really dug deep into it and realized and I think that's also around the time I like to think that I rediscovered Super Metroid before EGM told me it was great. honestly, I can't remember what was the chicken and what was the egg there. So
I feel like it was, I will freely admit that it was it topping EGM's top 100 list that one year, whenever that was. That I was like, what? Really? Super Metroid? Mm-hmm. Really?
You know what? That was 2003, and I was definitely playing it regularly before then. So,
all right, fair enough. That was, I think, when it really started to dawn on me. Because there's a lot of subtlety to its design that makes it so damn fucking great. That is a lot easier to appreciate with distance and maturity and playing through the game a few times. Because playing it at the time, like in the moment, it was just, well, this is a better Metroid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. So perfectly both an encapsulation of where video games were at that time, because it totally fits into the oeuvre of the rest of the releases of 94. But it is also just kind of the only game from that year that stands apart as this really timeless work of art.
Other than Final Fantasy III.
And then Final Fantasy III, of course.
Yeah. So at the time it was just like, well, every old NES classic is getting some kind of a 16-bit upgrade. Mm-hmm. In my head, it came a lot closer to the release of the Super Nintendo and not closer to the end of its life.
Right, yeah, yeah, it's a surprise.
Which just feels like ridiculously late, 94, like, oh my god, it was practically over at that point. Yeah. Which it really was. Just a note that the Sony PlayStation and the Sega Saturn released in Japan at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Holy shit. They came out in 90 fucking 4 in Japan.
No.
And 90 fucking 5 in America. It's
nuts.
Right as it's crazy that was already going on as I was sitting there to think that the PlayStation was out while I was playing Final Fantasy III is kind of mind-boggling when I was looking back on it. But Final Fantasy III.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I did share my special memory of getting that game.
Oh yeah.
In getting the haircut and such back on our Top 10 Games of All Time podcast, which was X Strike Studios podcast 100, I think, in the archive. It was a long time ago.
Yes,
it was a long time ago. But, you know, at that time, I was a budding RPG fan, I would say, at that time, having played the Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy I. Final Fantasy II, of course, was amazing. I don't know how I instantly became a Final Fantasy fan when I didn't make it that far in Final Fantasy I, but I could not wait for Final Fantasy II. And then at that point, it's like, okay, now I also can't wait for Final Fantasy III.
I think I definitely loved the series by then as well, and I could tell that Final Fantasy III was going in a slightly different direction than, you know, the localized version of 4 that we had all just played. And I was a little – I think I had some trepidations about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite sure how this seemingly like darker, somewhat more technologically modern game was going to feel, how it was going to work. But once it hit, it was very clear to me that at its core, this was still the same game system that I loved, but that these people were pulling out all the stops.
Mm-hmm.
I think even more than the first Final Fantasy, you know, there's the sort of legend that the first Final Fantasy was a last ditch effort to save Squaresoft.
Yeah, yeah.
This game felt like they were going for fucking broke more than maybe any other video game I'd played to that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was so just, I don't want to use the word opulent again, but it was lavish in its presentation. And
yeah,
so
you just look at the ridiculous amount of detail on the enemy sprites compared to Final Fantasy IV or even Final Fantasy V, just like how they, you know, they are the Amano paintings come to life.
They
are more so than ever before with this game. Is that, you know, that's when I really and having the Nintendo Player's Guide eventually, which had a lot of the artwork in it, and just like comparing the two and being like, wow, this is really this is what he drew, especially for the enemy character sprites. But this was one of the first times I recall not wanting to spoil myself on a game. I read very little. The only thing I saw in Nintendo Power is like I saw a map of World of Balance and World of Ruin, and I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense to me. Is it like a Dark World thing? I don't know. So I played this game mostly blind, and just everything that this game does just washed over me and was a surprise while playing through it. And it's just, it's so incredible. There's so much to discover, especially once you get to the World of Ruin.
Yeah.
At the time, nothing, at least on consoles, and nothing on PCs either, was hitting this level of detail with the graphics and breadth with its scope.
PC, the RPGs on PC were doing a lot of very sophisticated and detailed genre stuff. But what amazed me, what I think I felt at the time and that I can only articulate now as an adult, is that the story being told in Final Fantasy III/6 is one that was very daring and unique. It was absolutely the story that they wanted to tell, almost as if there was no consideration for this is what we think the fans are going to like. This is what people expect from Final Fantasy. I mean, it stylistically, it was a departure, but it was also this wonderfully organic outgrowth of things that they had laid down before. And the fact that they were able to present it just the way they wanted. But between the artwork, which is Yoshitaka Amano's drawings, and the music, which uses the full breadth of instrumentation available on that goddamn Yamaha sound chip to produce a score so good, we all fucking bought the 3-disc CD.
Yep.
It was the first OST I had ever bought in my life, and the first time I had ever considered it being a worthwhile thing to do, because the music was just so much a part of this game. The music was a whole other character in and of itself. This was a fully realized storytelling experience, more so than any other RPG or any other video game I'd ever played, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's the best game of 94, personally.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, that and Metroid and Super Metroid are obviously head and shoulders kind of above the pack.
Yeah.
Well, of which there is a decent pack.
There's a very decent pack. This was and it's funny, over on the I feel there were big things happening over on Genesis 2, even though this was for Genesis gamers.
For Genesis,
these were the
standards.
Sequels. It was like the Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Yeah, those Sonic both came out this year. Yeah,
those
yeah.
both came out this year. As I haven't dug deep on any research about that game, but I understand that they were originally developed meant to be a single game.
Yeah, it was meant to all be Sonic 3.
Yeah, and then some content got split, and I don't know.
They had to release something, and blah blah blah. You ended up with two games that were supposed to be one. As Chad Williams will beat down your door to tell you, Sonic 3 and Knuckles is the game, not Sonic 3 and also Sonic and Knuckles as two different games. Sonic 3 and Knuckles is the game that it was supposed to be. And that's how I wrote it down. So there, Chad.
Thanks,
be
Chad.
Be happy.
Yeah. It was the Streets of Rage 3 capped off went in a slightly different aesthetic direction than the crowning achievement of that series, but was still hailed technologically as, and as Virtua Racing got ported to the Genesis with their own fucking cheapo knockoff Super FX chip, and it was not very good.
But it felt amazing, I'm sure, that, oh my God, it's coming to Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
Holy
no,
shit.
I mean, it was, seemingly an unachievable feat. Although now EGM's best game for Genesis was Earthworm Jim.
Oh yeah. Earthworm Jim came out this year. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
A quintessential 90s action game.
Yeah. Oh, well, their best action game was Super Metroid.
No.
I believe that is the only award it won.
Yeah,
amidst,
I guess it was okay.
Amidst multiple award winners, King of Fighters 94, Road Rash, Mortal Kombat 2. This was the year of all the console ports of Mortal Kombat 2.
Right. Yeah, I believe we touched on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so NBA
Jam. Was King of Fighters 94 the first King of Fighters?
It was. It
yeah,
was
that's what
debut.
I thought. That's, yeah, it's what we look at now as King of Fighters 94, but at the time was simply the King of Fighters.
Yeah. No, I think it was called 94.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Even at the time.
They already intended. Yeah, I know there was some significant series that kicked off in 94, which would also include Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Which had its initial release on the 3DO. Warcraft.
Yes.
Yep.
By newly renamed Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
No longer Silicon and Synapse.
And King of Fighters. Some other games that would have significance later on would include Marathon, which is, Bungie's first game.
First-person shooter.
Some UFO Enemy Unknown, perhaps better known as XCOM. Mm. What was I going to say? Oh, Tekken in the arcades.
Yeah.
Proper.
Yeah. Killer Instinct in the arcades as well.
Killer fucking Instinct in the arcades.
Rare was having a ball playing with those Silicon Graphics machines.
Oh yeah, they were. Holy crap. Speaking of things in the arcade, Dave.
Yeah.
This was the year that Super Street Fighter II Turbo was released.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be the most popular, I think the most popular fighting game in the world until Street Fighter
really?
4 came out. Oh, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That was the lead game at EVO until Street Fighter 4 came out.
It was...
They were still playing Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Wow.
Yeah. like Street Fighter 3 didn't catch on quite as much. It was Street Fighter 2. And this is, you know, the definitive version of Street Fighter 2 for tournament play.
It, okay. Shit. Now I'm not sure about this. I should have looked this up. Here's the thing.
What?
Okay, I can't remember. Now. I am pretty sure that Super Turbo ran on a CPS2 board.
Oh, boy.
But Super was only CPS1. Either that or Super was the debut of the CPS2 board.
I don't know.
I can't remember now. I think, you know,
for
you know
shame.
What?
For shame. For shame.
I am almost certain that Super was the debut of the CPS2 board.
That would make sense.
That would make sense. And because Darkstalkers was also released in 94, which would make it like the third CPS2 board game, but also the beginning of the art direction that most CPS2 games by Capcom would take.
Yeah,
that
the slow ramp into Marvel versus Capcom would begin with the Darkstalkers. Significant. Significant game.
Yeah.
I also want to mention on PC a little game called TIE Fighter, which, holy shit. Speaking of things that need an HD release, holy crap, did I play some TIE Fighter? Like, as I think anyone who played the both of them will tell you, like, X-Wing was a lot of fun, but TIE Fighter, playing as the bad guys, that was really where it was at.
I think I only ever played a little bit of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Oh my gosh,
at the time.
Games are so good. Like, PC in the mid-90s is just unreal looking back, early to late 90s. Like, I can't believe the shit that was going on that I wasn't paying that much attention to because I was a console gamer. What else did you see of significance that came out this year?
Well, okay, this is...
The 32X? How about that?
Oh, well, yeah, that's the thing. 94
Neo Geo
is the year
CD.
That Sega kind of dropped all the fucking Sega
the Nomad,
launched the 32X, the
Zero
Nomad,
Prime.
And the Saturn in Japan.
Zero Prime, the Sega Channel.
The Sega, that's right. Yeah, and the Sega.
So the true game of the year for 1994
was released.
Is the Sega Channel, ladies and gentlemen. Zero Prime wins again.
Yeah, I mean, 94 was in a lot. Was definitely the year that Sega fucking jumped all of the sharks in terms of hardware.
Sega fucking blew it.
And just shot themselves in the foot.
I can't believe they released the 32X the same month they released the Saturn. What were they thinking?
They delayed the release of the 32X by another month in Japan to give the Saturn some breathing room.
That
so in Japan,
so
the Saturn
stupid.
Was released a month before.
Why
32X.
Did you even bother?
Oh, because that port of Virtua Racing 32X was fucking good. Virtua Racing Deluxe was a smash.
Such a mess. Oh, my God. How about games, though, man? Well, games?
This is funny because I don't think we think of Mega Man X as being a 94 game, but it didn't come out in the U.S. until January of 94.
No shit. Wow.
I know. I was really surprised by that.
That seems really extremely late. I would have pegged that for 92 or 93, but...
That's totally what I thought as well.
I guess that makes sense. Gosh, did I really get X3 in early 96? Holy crap, that feels late. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, X3 was a pretty late release in terms of the console's life.
That's probably why it's so damn expensive.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what else I have here.
Man,
oh,
Mega Man X. That's crazy. Oh, shit.
Super
crazy. That really like stabs me. Oh, man, that really muddles up the best song ever for 94. Holy crap. That's some serious competition right there.
94 was the year that Super Street Fighter 2 was ported to SNES and Genesis.
Yep,
so
that
was the year that I spent $150 of birthday money on a copy for Super Nintendo and two sticks, which I no longer own as of a few days ago. let's see. Road Rash was debuted on 3DO, a beloved series. Yeah.
But I think we hit kind of the big... Oh, System Shock. I forgot to mention. The first System Shock came out on PC. You know, the legacy that would lead us to BioShock and such and such and such and such.
Yeah.
As everybody knows.
I do want to point out Tempest 2000 came out on Jaguar.
The Jaguar?
launching the career of Jeff Minter.
Mm-hmm.
And the craziness that and him remaking that game.
Him remaking Tempest for 20 years.
Yeah. Donkey Kong 94, which we already mentioned, which is a
best Game Boy game, I'm sure, of 94, I'd have to think. Yep.
And I don't know, this might only be special to us, but R-Type 3 came out in 94.
That's pretty good.
Which is a pretty good game.
Yeah, it's one of the best R-Types.
Oh, I think the Wario Land series began. EGM has a.
I believe Wario's Woods came out in 94.
Wario's Woods, yes, the final
the
NES.
Final NES game. Yep.
Came out in 94. That's true.
The birth of Wario.
Yeah.
So, what?
I was going to say, I think that's all.
Yeah, I think that's the big stuff. But obviously, kind of the two headliners were Final Fantasy VI, well, three. I want to refer to it as 3 in this instance because that is how it was released in 94.
Yeah.
Obviously, things got straightened out eventually, and no one calls it 3 anymore. But that and Super Metroid were the tops, yeah. For sure. Landmark games.
Yes. Nintendo unveiled the first public photos of the finalized design for what was still known as the Ultra 64 console.
The Nintendo Ultra 64, which we would not see for another 2 years.
Yeah, but the case was finalized. Pictures of it at that time, it's the final case.
I can't believe how long it took for that thing to come out, considering, like, just that. Like, if you just asked me straight up, I would have been like, oh, Killer Instinct probably came out in 95, and then, you know, the actual system the year after. I forgot how long it took to come out.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Epic Mega Games released a little game called Jazz Jackrabbit.
Yep. Started I forgot about Jazz Jackrabbit.
Doom 2 came out that year.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, exactly. This is a whole year. This is a big scope of games to choose from to pick a best song ever out of.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I know.
Let's narrow it down.
Okay.
So what would you pick as the best song ever from Super Metroid? This is, I feel, tough because, you know, okay. So the soundtrack to Super Metroid is amazing. I don't know if any of the songs taken out of the context of that game are as amazing. I don't know.
Right.
It's a tough call when so much of it is about playing the game and hearing the music and being in those environments all at once.
Yeah. Like, so
part of me part of me wanted to say Meridia.
Yeah, which is lovely and haunting.
But it's nothing against the soundtrack and the music in that game at all. But just for trying to single out a track, that's hard.
Yeah, no. I mean, I love the thumping evil marching drums of Norfair, Lower Norfair.
Yeah, Lower Norfair.
Lower Norfair.
Lower Norfair.
I like the main theme. It is ambient music that perfectly suits the environments in which you are in. And if we're just talking about best songs, let's just hop over to Final Fantasy III.
Yeah.
And hash that out because
I feel like and I you know, after you picked the end credits song of Katamari, man, that ending song of Final Fantasy VI is pretty fucking incredible.
But it's also kind of cheating.
It is kind of cheating, but just the way that it weaves all of their themes together and then builds up to, you know, the big crescendo when you're actually going through the credits and the airship is swooping around and over the land and down under the clouds at like. It's awesome.
It's also kind of
cheating, I guess, if you want to get right to it.
The theme that plays during the opening sequence, during the opening credit sequence, is
the march to Narsh.
Yes, the march to Narsh is also one of those things where it's
sort
not
of
the
sometimes
main
credited,
theme, but it's the unofficial theme.
Yeah.
And I think that the end credits and, of course, the opera, the whole opera sequence, not just the aria,
Mm-hmm.
Mezzo, yes, di aria, up to di and cantare, including the grand, which is just finale. A random collection of Italian words, yes, that means nothing.
Yes, the grand finale to the opera is an amazing song.
Yeah,
for a one-off boss battle theme.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yes.
I don't know. Would we have to say the opera? The whole
I don't
opera?
Think we,
no.
I think you should, because it, in a lot of degrees, it functions as a single piece of music, mm-hmm, as a suite.
Sure.
It's a suite, really.
Yeah, on the CD, it's broken down into tracks, but, like, you know, you listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't put that sucker on random. Like, no, you want to listen to the entire opera.
Yeah, it is a piece of music, mm-hmm, unto itself.
And the most iconic part of Final Fantasy III, I feel, is that opera house.
It's the part that people point to, and for good reason, because, I mean, it is a deliberately musical thing that uses the music as part of the gameplay, mm-hmm, and what an achievement musically to include, like, a 4 or 5 part operatic suite contained within your existing soundtrack to your fucking video game. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
It is impressive as fuck, but the end credits theme takes it.
Yeah.
It cheats even because it uses all the existing themes, but all those themes are great and you get them all together in one song.
Mm-hmm. Man, I was really like starting to swing towards the opera. I'm like, man, I didn't want to say the opera.
It's an incredible achievement, but if I could only listen to one right now,
I'm totally
pumped to listen to the credits theme.
Absolutely. God damn, Final Fantasy. Damn you.
Motherfuck.
I mean, I would listen to that soundtrack too, the whole thing. Like, yeah, when I got a CD player, a portable Walkman, that's what I would listen to. A lot. Like, I had, like, you know, I didn't have many CDs. I said, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em, and I had Alapalooza, and I had the Final Fantasy III soundtrack. That's what I was packing.
I lost mine sometime in college. I don't know. Sometime before college, I think.
I at least have the discs, and I'm pretty sure I have the case somewhere, too. Kefka's Domain, as it was called.
Mm-hmm. Was that only sold through Nintendo Power?
As far as I know, yeah. It was through when they had their little merch catalog that they'd shop around. I was like, no, Mom, I want that. It was really funny. Jeremy Parrish, when he did his he started an anatomy of Final Fantasy VI back when the game hit its 20th anniversary at the.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. At the end of October. And like the story he told of chomping at the bit to get that game, getting it home, plowing through it. Getting the guide, getting the soundtrack, just being obsessed, and just how, you know, it turned that key over to, you know, someone who was a little bit interested in RPGs to just like, holy shit, this is my favorite genre of video game. Like, that is like, man, RPGs, this is the best.
It was one of the, really, that game and Super Metroid. What they both do really well is control the pacing of visual storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like, more than any video games being interactive leaves so much to the player to press start and start when they're ready. But both of these games, you boot them up and they have these very, you know, cinematic intro sequences that do borrow a lot from more cinematic forms of storytelling, but it's your story. The lightning flashes in the clouds as you descend upon the fucking flaming logo of Final Fantasy,
which is so mad at you,
with a menacing chorus. It is so subversive of what video games did at that time. It flipped everything on its ear. Super Metroid did as well, with the silence and the, mm-hmm, Metroid chirping at you, and the close-ups of the scenes of destruction, and then it pans out and the Metroid theme, the classic Metroid theme, begins.
Yeah,
amazing artistic work happening in 94 amidst other great video games, and, mm-hmm, then these two experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. Two of the best five games ever made, I would say. two of the five. And few would argue that.
Yeah.
I think at worst people would say two of the best, the top 10, right there in 94, 6 months apart. Almost exactly.
Yeah.
Six months and a few weeks.
I want to play both these games right now.
Oh, God. I know. Why is Final Fantasy VI got to be so long?
I know.
Just relatively speaking.
Reader's Digest version that you can beat in an hour.
You just, you know, every battle, you just get enough experience to get through the next area. Just boom.
One battle per area.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I think that's it.
Yep, that's it. That's it for 94. A fantastic year. Let's hope that 2014 managed to turn out half as many unforgettable classics as 94 did.
Sure. Yeah.
just one game that we'll look at in 20 years when we're doing Games of Future Past with our children and say, this is what was going on in 2014. So retro. All right. Thanks.
That's a depressing thought.
What? Come on.
I'm trying to think of a single game that came out this year that you could say that about.
Well, you haven't played any of them yet, so give it time.
I know. Okay.
All right.
All right. Bye.